You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
How many could really use a blessing in your life? Like, you got something that, you know, all right, God, any day now. I told Steve, I found it funny, I was teaching on the commanded blessing, and I told him I'm going to speak things that are not as though they are. Not that I'm not blessed. I am highly blessed and favored. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to open up in Deuteronomy 28. We're going to read through some verses, but I think you're going to like them, so it's okay. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set high above all nations in the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, how many would like to be overtaken by a blessing? You know, when I looked up the word overtaken, it means to be outrun by something. And I was looking up beforehand. I was almost going to play a video of, what is it, the running of the bulls. You ever watch that where they, like, release the bulls? And everybody thinks they're going to outrun them, but they never do. They always get knocked over. And that basically is what it means. It means you're overtaken. You are outrun by something, which in this case is a blessing. It'd be kind of nice. So if we go on, verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. And the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, increase of your herds, increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. They have a lot of farmers back then. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl be. How many have a basket and kneading bowl? I don't have that, but that's okay. I've got groceries I can use some blessing on. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Can you imagine every time you come in somewhere and every time you leave somewhere, you leave a blessing and you get a blessing? How many would like that? Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, that rise up against you to be defeated before your face. How many got some enemies? All right, I'll keep moving. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. When you understand the blessing on your life, you actually begin to feel sorry for your enemies, because the Bible says that he will make sure that anybody who touches you and treats you wrong and does you wrong will actually... It's not called karma. We don't call it karma. We call it the blessing of God, because God will protect you in such a way nobody's going to want to mess with you. That'd be cool. Don't want to meet you in a dark alley with God. All right. Verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing. Isn't that cool? He'll command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which your Lord God gives you as an increase. Sometimes there's a blessing that we ask for something. You know, Proverbs says that the blessings of the Lord make rich and he adds no sorrow to it. You ever had a prayer like, God, I really need some help fixing my car? Or, God, can you just protect my kids on the way to school? That's like a God, I need a blessing. But a commanded blessing is something that's just commanded over you. It's like there is no second guess. There's no question. There is no maybe it'll happen. Ask God and maybe he'll give you favor. It's a commanded blessing over your life. So verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. How many would like that? You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. I'd like that one, huh? How about for our nation, right? And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the left or to the right, to go after other gods to serve them. So basically the Lord's saying, I want to command a blessing on your life in every single thing you do. I mean, he listed really everything. He listed the land. He listed things you do with your hand. He listed your produce. He listed your farm animals. He listed your kids. He listed your spouses. He listed the going in and the coming out. He listed the enemies. He listed the people that you like and don't like. I mean, he kind of names every single category, and that's something that God wants to bless you on. Now, the commanded blessing is linked to the words where in Genesis, God says, let there be light. There was no option to light. Light was commanded to come forth. So when God said, let there be light, it wasn't that something went, okay. No, it was commanded. Let there be light. There will be light. And so light came about. That's the same thing as a commanded blessing. It says that what my hand set out to do, God is going to prosper. So when an enemy of some kind, finances, relationship, kids, how many got kids? Sometimes they're your enemies. You got a boss at work, you got whatever it is, when something comes against you, the commanded blessing of God says, no, you're going to be fruitful and multiply, you're going to be living in health and prosperity, you have a commanded blessing over your life. There is something that does not have an option. It causes opportunities to come to you, doors to open to you. One of my favorite verses I quote all the time is in Revelations that says that God will open up doors that no man can close, and he'll close doors that no man can open. I want everything that I do to have open and closed doors. If I walk by something and the door's closed and I try to open it, I want to know out of the peace of God, okay, no, just leave it alone. Or no, knock the dang door down and let God open a door that no man can close. Let God close doors that no man can open. When you become blessed, everything connected to you has to be blessed. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because it says in the Bible, it says that everything around you, your land, your produce, your family, your neighbors, everything around you, your work, everything related to you in some way, anything that has a connection to you, when you have a commanded blessing on your life, that all gets blessed. Without any work, that's already blessed because your hand touched it. Now, if we go back into Genesis, there's the story of Abraham, and most of you know the story where Abraham prays. He's given a promise that he's going to have a son, and he's going to be fruitful, and all the descendants are going to multiply, and they're going to be blessed in all the earth. And so it says that one day, finally, Isaac is born, the son they've waited for, and God goes to Abraham, and he says, listen, that son I gave you, I need you to sacrifice to me. Kind of a fun story, right? Like a bedtime story. It's great. And so God says, I need you to take your son, your only son, your real son, the one I promised you, and take him up to the hill and sacrifice him to me. And so Abram, I can imagine, solemnly says, okay, son, I'm going to take you with me. We're going to sacrifice, takes him up the hill. But here's the thing. What Abram didn't know is by the time he'd already reached the top of the hill and was ready to sacrifice his son, God had already met his need. I mean, think about it. Somewhere between the time that he's walking up the hill or the time that he decided, okay, I'm going to do what God asked, he caused a lamb to be caught in the thicket. Somewhere in between there, Abraham had no idea how his need was going to be met. He just knew God said to do something, go do it. He's about ready to do it, and there's the need. So somewhere, when you have a commanded blessing, you have a need, and when it meets God's supply, it's a commanded blessing. Because God goes, no, you have been faithful, you will be blessed, so therefore, I have met your need. By the time he already reached the top, there it was. God knew ahead of time, before Abraham ever even knew he was going to have a need, God had already met the need. That's my kind of blessing. It says that by the time Abraham got up there, he realized there was a lamb, and that's where the name Jehovah Jireh comes from, which if you study it out, it means the God who sees, the one who sees, the one who provides, the one who sees ahead of time before I can see anything else coming, Jehovah Jireh. That's my God, my provider, the one who knows all of my needs. So before you even have a need, God has supplied your need. If you go back to Genesis 12, it says this, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's intention is that anything, anybody connected to you is blessed. Wouldn't that be awesome? That means that anything connected to you here tonight, when you have a commanded blessing on your life, it'll be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your relationships will be blessed. Your job will be blessed. Your finances will be blessed. You just have a commanded blessing. Wouldn't that be cool? That's our intention. Now, how many know that having a bunch of cars, going on a lot of vacations, a big house, status, you can know a lot of people that drive a really expensive car but are really going nowhere in life. You ever met those people? They go on a lot of vacations, but they have no meaning. They can do a lot of stuff, and their bank account can be really full, but it does absolutely nothing, and they are not blessed. You ever met somebody like that? Don't point at the person next to you. If they have all that money, make sure they tithe. That's all I have to say. All right, if you go back to the garden, if you go all the way back to Genesis, it says that in the beginning, on the first day, God created, and then he said it was good. And so then on the second day, God created, and he said it was good. And then on the third day, God created, and he said it was good. He gets all the way to the sixth day, and God created man. And what did he do? It says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them. They were still good, but God blessed them. He went ahead and blessed them. So if we jump on to chapter 2, it says this, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now here's the thing. So God creates all this stuff. He says it's good. 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 He blesses them. And then he rests, and he blesses, and he sanctifies the seventh day. Now think about it. The first day that man walks into is what? Blessed. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. The first day, on the sixth day, God creates man. He blesses man. Then he goes ahead and he rests, and on the seventh day, he blesses the seventh day, he sanctifies it, and on the seventh day, man, the first day, gets up and he's already blessed. He's created and he's already blessed. How many of us walk in our lives, we get up on the first day and we're good, and the second day, we're good, sixth day, we're kind of blessed, but the seventh day, man, that's something where you can get saved, healed, and delivered, and you walk in this blessing that you don't even understand yet. It's a commanded blessing that's already there, but not activated until you do something with it, until you follow the commandments of God, until you step forward and move on in the things of God. You never realize how really blessed you are. God's already created a day ahead of you that's already blessed and sanctified. He's blessed you, plus he's blessed you the day ahead. He's gone before us. So God intends for you to walk into a blessing. Now, the commanded blessing is built upon an understanding of ownership and stewardship. And here's what I mean. In Haggai, it says this. I'm going to skip to verse 8. It says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Basically, God is saying, everything is mine. That gold is mine. That silver is mine. It's all mine. I'm the owner. I'm the owner. I own everything. You get to steward what I give you. I get to own everything. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. The land is mine. The fruit of the land is mine. Your children are mine. All your stuff is mine. It's all mine. But you can use it. Take good care of it. Everything is mine. Psalms 50 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hill. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not even tell you, for the world is mine and its fullness. God owns everything. Everything. You own nothing. Good deal? Kind of a good deal. But when you're walking in the commanded blessing, you understand that you are not the owner of anything that you have. You are the steward of everything that you have. Now, if you go to John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now, here's the thing, is you can't have a thief without having an owner, right? You can't have a thief without having somebody that owns something. It belongs to somebody. Because until you have something that belongs to somebody, there's nothing for anybody to steal. Does that make sense? So if there's a thief that's come to kill, steal, and destroy, then there's an owner of what he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But it's a matter of who the owner is. So if you live the commanded blessed life, then you are always in opposition to the thief, which is the devil, Satan, opposition. The thief will have you living in lack, limitation, stealing from you, killing around you, and destroying you, contrary to some Christian opinions. I was talking to Steve about this last night. I don't believe that God gets glory out of starving children in other countries or in our country. I don't believe God gets glory out of having your car repoed, your house repossessed, having your children sick. Now, can God get glory? Absolutely. He can provide, he can heal, he can deliver, and then you turn around and go, God, I give you all the glory. I understand you are the owner. Therefore, I give you the glory for all of this. So yes, he can have the glory, but I don't believe God gets the glory out of stuff like that, because back to John 10:10, he has come that you may have life more abundantly. So when he says in Haggai, the gold is mine and the silver is mine, he ends it with, saith the Lord. Now the word Lord right there means owner, says the owner. I just want you to know, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, the mountains, the fields, the birds of the air, anything you have or want, it's all mine. I'm the owner. I like it. So if we go back again to the Old Testament, when God was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt from Pharaoh, he had to deal with their mentality of who owned them. Who did it belong to? Because Pharaoh acted like a landlord. Pharaoh was like the Lord over all of Israel. I will give you what you need. You need food? It'll come from me. You need work? It'll come from me. You want more kids? I'll make it happen. I'll give you the opportunity. Everything you have is mine. That's what Pharaoh did. So when God takes them all from Pharaoh, he has to change their mentality to understand, no, everything you have is mine. Gold is mine. The silver is mine. I am the owner of you. I am the owner of everything you have. I'm the owner of everything you want. I'm the owner of everything you will ever possess. I am God and I am the owner. But they had come out of years and years and years and years of a mentality of, oh, well, we have this slave driver. Everything belongs to Pharaoh. It's got to go through his hands. In order for me to have what I need, I have to do what he wants. But God's going, no, no, no. I'm the owner. Remember, the gold is mine. Silver is mine. Exodus 6:2, verse 2, it says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Pretty simple. I am the Lord, the owner. I am the owner. I'm the owner of all of it. Moses goes in and says, but God, how are you going to do this? How are we going to get the people out? I am the Lord. But who do I say sent me? Just say I am, the owner. The owner of the people is going before you. It all belongs to me. Go back and get what I have. It all belongs to me. He thinks it belongs to him, but I am the Lord. So I actually heard somebody else say this, and I think I've thought it myself, and I'm sure you guys have too, is how is it that you can bring all these people out of Israel? God promises the land, the promised land, right? But there were people already living in the promised land. So you ever thought about the fact that is it really fair to go to people and go, sorry, you're not the chosen ones? Now, I got two kids. My kids like to possess a lot of things, including things that may not be theirs. But they like to do that. No, I may not have been playing with it, but it's mine. I don't want to play with it. But that doesn't mean you can play with it. It's mine. I want it back. So at what point the world would go, well, wait a minute. How is it fair that they go into the promised land and just kick out the people there? Well, because God says the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the land is mine, the cattle are mine. So when you go to God and say, God, I have a need. I need you to supply. Can you bless what I have? It's not a matter of God going back to the devil and going, sorry, I need that back. No, because it belongs to him. He goes, gets what he needs. It's his. He's the owner. It's not a matter of us going to God and he goes, oh, I don't know, Steve had it first. Sorry, Steve, not your car anymore. We're going to give it to them. No, he doesn't take from one person to give to another. He takes what's his, God's, and he moves it where he needs it. He blesses who needs to be blessed, and replaces what needs to be replaced. He puts you where you need to be when you live the commanded blessing life. So it's not a matter of just having a blessing, having something good happen. It's a matter of living a commanded, blessed life. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we all know that God made everything. He has man, he has woman, and he says, okay, here's all the trees. There's all the fruit of the land, all the animals. Look at all this stuff. Now listen, this one tree right here is mine. Gold is mine, silver is mine, the tree is mine. So you can tend, you can steward the tree, you can tend to it, you can eat of everything else, but you can't eat of my tree. That's my tree. But you can bless and steward and tend to everything else that you want, everything else that you need, but that one tree is mine. So gold is mine, silver is mine, trees are mine. That tree, that belongs to me. Don't touch my tree. As long as you don't touch my tree, I'm going to bless everything else that you have. If you listen to my voice and do what I've commanded, you're going to have a commanded blessing over your life, and everything else behind you will be blessed. But just don't touch my tree. You ever heard that? In offerings, tithes. Because we become the point where we have to understand that God will put before us something that says, okay, all of this stuff I've created and I own it all, just don't touch this one thing. Why would God say, you can have everything, but don't touch that portion of it? Because until you can get before God and he can give you something or put something before you that you go, I kind of want that, but that doesn't belong to me, so I'm not going to touch that. The owner said, I can't touch that. As soon as God puts something before you that's tempting, that you want, but you don't touch it, you're giving God the authority to be the owner in your life. You're telling God, I understand nothing here is something that I own. You own everything. You don't want me to touch that one thing that you own, but I will steward everything else. So God will put something in your life that you need to steward, and he'll put other things in your life that you need to not touch. One of those being a tithe. Amen. One of those being a tenth. It's like having 10. So I brought this as an example here. So we've got apples. Right? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can have all of that. You can't have this. This belongs to me. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. The green apple is mine. You can't have that. Or you can have that. I'm sorry. You can have all of that. You can't have this. Don't touch it. Belongs to me. I'm the owner of all of it. I'm giving you this as long as you give me that. And that's what the Bible says. Give a tenth. Give a tithe. Give something to God to show, I know that you're the owner of everything I have. Everything else belongs to me. I get to steward it. I get to have some of that. Can't have this. Gold is mine. Silver is mine. Mountains are mine. The fields, the fruit of the fields, my kids, my spouse. How I steward my spouse and my kids is a reflection of who I believe the owner of my life is. How I steward my finances, how I steward my home life and my job and my hours and my waking moments and the things I do at night and the things I do in morning, all this stuff proves as long as I give this, God's the owner of all of it. But I'm the steward of what I have. Leviticus says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord. So he has commanded a tenth. Now, back to Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord will command a blessing. And if you keep going on, it says he'll command a blessing as long as you follow the commandments that I've given to you and you understand that I am the owner of it all. Malachi says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. It's the same thing that happened in the garden. You know, when Satan came and he said, listen, you know, what God said isn't true. You know, he said that, you know, or you know, God really meant that if you eat of the fruit, you're going to be like God. Well, that doesn't mean he's going to turn into like a little mini god. He was saying, you're going to be the owner. If you eat of the tree, you'll be the owner. Everything will belong to you. You tend to it anyway. It's before you. You take care of it. Shouldn't it be yours anyway? Just, it's not very much. It's not going to matter. So you put it back down. It's all mine. And that's what they did. Satan said, no, but it makes you like God. But in reality, he was saying it makes you the owner. You steward it anyway. You have it anyway. It's in your hand. What's it matter? It's only a tenth. It's only one tree. God's not going to care. The owner's not going to matter. You're the owner. You tend to it anyway. You made it. You worked hard for it. You went to school. You got a degree. You studied for it. You're raising your kids. You work really hard to raise your kids. You work really hard to raise your spouse. It's all yours anyway. You do all the hard work. It's no big deal. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, it doesn't say bring all the tithes to your cousin who's really in need across the country just for a couple months because they really need it, and it's the same amount as your tithe, and it can really come in handy. He doesn't say that send it off to, you know, the Christian school, the amazing Christian school that you have here at church. Use your tithe to pay for the Christian school. It's okay. It's all going into the church. He doesn't say to use it to give alms to the poor. Go use it to help just the poor on the streets. It's okay. You know, the church would have done it anyway, so it's okay. You would have given your tithe, and they would have helped the poor, so you're just bypassing all that. You're just helping the poor. You're just giving it out. It's as long as you give it. You know, it says a tenth. It says a tenth. This green apple. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. It's green apple. It's mine. It's all mine. All mine. No. But think about it. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. How wise is God that he sets it up ahead of time and says, listen, this is how I'm going to make my kingdom work. All of you people that believe I'm the owner of everything, I created it all, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the mountains are mine, so on and so forth, it all belongs to me. This is how I'm going to make my church work, how I'm going to make my kingdom work. You give me a tenth of what I have handed to you to steward, right? Because it's not yours. You give me a tenth of what I've handed over to you to steward to prove to me that you know that I'm the owner of it all anyway. And I'm going to fill your churches. I'm going to fill your cities with needy, hungry people. And you're going to have enough in the storehouse that you can meet every need that there is. You can pay for the schooling. You can fix your city. You can help the people that are poor and lost. You can do whatever is needed to do as long as you remember that I'm the owner. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. The green apple belongs to me. You can have everything else. But this is how I'm going to make the church function. This is how the storehouse is going to work, is all of you that believe this, you give in to the storehouse and you prove that it's okay. You're the owner. You're going to take care of all of it. But God, oh my gosh, if I write my tithe check, I'm going to be short on my carpet. It's okay. God owns it all. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. You give your first fruit. You give your tenth. And you go, God, I know you're the owner of it all. I work hard. I'm faithful with what I do. I treat my family right. I treat my finances right. I do everything in the word that you tell me to do, and I know you're the owner of all of it, so I'm going to give you what's yours anyway, and you're going to bless everything else I have. And not just bless it, it's going to be a commanded blessing. So I don't even have to ask for it. You're going to bless me so much that the people that are connected to me, the people that know me, the people that I put my hand out to help are going to be blessed. Not because they ask, but because I know who my owner is, and my owner says, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the mountains are mine, the food they need are mine, the clothes are mine. I own the storehouse and everything that's in it anyway. So I'm going to hand over my green apple, my 10%. And it says this, it says, let me find my spot. Malachi 3:11. Let me go up. Malachi 3:10. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, the owner, If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Test him. Test him. You ever had to test somebody on something? You know, they say something, you're like, oh, I don't know. It's okay. Test him. See if he's really the owner. Last time I checked, you may water the tree, but you got no idea how it works. It just all we know when we water and we fertilize and we do certain things, it makes something happen and it grows and there it is. But you're not the creator. You're the steward. You're the owner. You're not the owner unless you put your apple back and go, yeah, he doesn't need that. Church has enough money. Have you seen their lights? Have you seen their new drum kit? They have enough money to do all sorts of stuff at church. They don't need my 10%. My 10% is hardly anything anyway. Let me fill you in on something. It's not about, because most people start moaning when you talk about tithe. Like, oh, they want our money. No, it's not about the money. It's about making sure that everybody in here gets blessed. Amen. Because whether you give $5 or $5 million, it doesn't change your blessing. It doesn't. If it's a tithe, it doesn't change your blessing. It's not about whether or not everybody in here tithes so that we can keep functioning as a church, because I'm pretty confident that Pastor Bob and Susan, after 42 years, have proved that it's not theirs and they can live without your tithe. It's you that can't live without your tithe. Amen. Right? So it says this in Malachi 3:11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. If you will give a tithe, I will rebuke the devourer. Now here's the thing, is that means that when my apple goes back down, I have now said I'm the owner, which means I am no longer saying that God is the owner, so I am on the side of the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If God's over here and my apple should be with the owner, then as soon as I put my apple over here, I have now become part of the thief. And I've said, I'm the owner, but I'm not the owner. I've now become the thief, and I've allowed an open door for the enemy to go, there's your finances. Oh, there's your oldest son. Oh, man, there's that grant you wanted to go back to school and your car. And I've opened it up to the thief. Or maybe, how many I got? 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know. I can skip my tithe just this one month, because I've got, oh my gosh, I've got these tickets to this sporting event. Whew, man, it goes away. Oh, and I got this, you know, if I can just, I won't pay that, and then I'll have the down payment for the new car I've really wanted. And I've opened it up to the enemy going, huh, well, look at that. Yeah, who cares where it went? We're just going to take all of it. And then you find you're left with nothing. And you wonder, but God, I go to church. And God, I teach my kids about you. I send them to a private school. I do everything right. And God goes, well, technically, on paper, you do pretty much everything right, except you think you're the owner. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. All dim apples are mine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, here's the thing. Here's the other thing. 10% belongs to God. And here's the problem. Is you get into the storehouse, people start going, okay, well, just this month I'm going to add my tithe over here. And somebody else goes, yeah, I'm going to add it over here. And let's say this is the mall. We've given a lot into the mall. We've given a lot into this boarding event, and maybe even the private school they go to, and your college degree. You got all these things that the tithe starts going into. And then all of the stuff that should be blessed because it's connected to you, now you wonder why your cities are in ruins, because they're no longer connected to you in a blessing, they're connected to you as a thief. And you walk down the streets and you go, but God, I gave my $5 to the beggar outside, And he goes, but you never gave me back what's mine. It's not blessed. You gave it. It was nice. Sweet gesture. It's not blessed. Now, how many times do you see the red apples, the things of the world, put back into the kingdom? Not very often. It should only go where God says it belongs to him. That way, I'm going to say those are you. I'm going to be the good guy this time. Those are you. You have been devoured. I'm going to keep my apples, and I'm going to give them to God because I'm going to go, God, I need my city changed. I need city council to be right. I need my school to be right. God, I need all this stuff, and I know that if I don't call you the owner of everything I have, it's all going to be devoured. But as soon as we can get a church that'll rise up and go, I know who the silver belongs to and who the gold belongs to, and I know who the city belongs to, and I know who my family belongs to, then when I give my 10%, God can go, I command a blessing on you. And the blessings will be on everything you put your hand to do, everything that you put your foot to do, every place that you work, every person you talk to, every hand that you reach out to help somebody, anything that you put towards your job or your family or your finances. Or listen to this. In Hebrews 7, it talks about Abraham paying the tithe to Melchizedek. And it says in there that even Levi was blessed because of Abraham. Now, remember, Levi wasn't born when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. So what does that say? It says that even your future children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, all on down the line are going to be blessed when you give that to God. But if you don't, it goes to the devourer. And then we have people come to church and go, I don't understand. I raised them in a Christian home. Who's the owner? Well, what do you mean? I've done everything God's told me, but who's the owner? Who do you pay your tithe to? Who owns the gold? Who owns the silver? Who owns the green apples? Who owns what you have? Yes, you worked really hard for it. You put your blood, your sweat, your tears into your job, into your finances. You've been faithful with your 401. You've done all this other stuff. You've done it all, but what have you done with what I gave you? Because I am the owner. It's all mine, and you're the steward. And then you get mad because I, the owner, you think haven't blessed you, but you haven't given me what's mine. You haven't done what's required to say, yes, God, I acknowledge that you are the owner of everything in my life, and everything else, I am the steward. I understand that my family, I am the steward. You are the owner. My kids, I am the steward. Thank God, you are the owner. My finances, I am the steward. You are the owner. I believe that if we as a church can get to the point, and I don't mean just a church like the Dwelling Place, we as a church as a whole can get to the point where we understand the commanded blessing, it will change our cities. It'll change our neighborhoods. It'll change your family. It'll change your great, 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 great grandchildren. We are blessed because of Abraham tithing. So how much more can be blessed when you start tithing? How much more can be blessed when you start giving above and beyond? Because you're not giving until you tithe. If I have to tithe $10, but I didn't tithe my $10, but I just gave my $5 to somebody else. I gave $5 that belonged to the owner to somebody else. It's not giving until I've given my green apple. If I decide to give a couple red apples to somebody else, I can do that. They belong to me. I'm a steward. I can do that because I've given that to the owner. But if I give these away and I give this away, I've now stolen this from the owner. I think that we can be a church that if we understand it, we'll see our kids change. We'll see anything and everything connected to us have a commanded blessing and they won't even know why they're blessed. But we can look at it and go, I know why you're blessed. Because you're connected to me. Because you're connected to me. Because I tithe. Because I gave and I told God, I know this is yours. I'm going to give it back to you. And I told God, you're the owner of everything I have. You're all going to be blessed. Not because of me, but because I know who the owner is. The gold is his. The silver is his. The green apples are his. Everything is his. And how many want a commanded life? Don't worry, I've already taken the offering. All 12 of you. Okay, listen. The 12 of you are connected to somebody else here tonight. All I would tell you is I believe when we understand the commanded blessing in our life, I'll tell you what, we could sure use a whole lot of blessing in our life. But, you know, I told Steve last night, you know, it's the saying things that don't seem like they are as though they were. I know that God has already been to my mountain and left what I needed while I'm on my way up thinking I'm doing a sacrifice. The owner has already been up there and left the lamb as a sacrifice for me. He's met my need before I ever knew I was going to have a need long ago. And I know, for Steve and I personally, I know for us, no idea where it's coming from, except I know who my owner is. And I know my owner's going to take care of everything he has. And I know I should not have to worry about any single thing. Does my flesh? Sure. Absolutely. But I have peace. And that's what the commanded blessing brings. It brings a peace in the middle of a storm. You can be in the middle of things wreaking havoc and go, but I know who gives power to the sea. I know who causes the wind to blow. I know who can bring healing in an instant. I know who can bring the backslidden children back. I know who owns it all. I've got nothing to worry about as long as I've given what belongs to the owner. Amen? Would you stand? I went a little bit over, but I'll give you an apple to make up for it.